We're in a series called The Dreamer. By the way, I'm Pastor Alex, one of the pastors here at New Life Church. This is your first time here. We welcome you. We love to have you here. We're excited. God is doing amazing things at New Life Church. We would love for you to become a part of this big vision, bringing people who are far from God closer to Jesus. Well, we're talking about a hero named Joseph. Joseph is an interesting character in the Bible because he grew up in a messed up family. His dad was a crook. His brothers are messed up. One of his oldest brothers, Reuben, sleeps with his stepmom. That's how bad he is. Two of his second and third brother, they go and attack a small town because of one of the princes in that town rapes their sister. So they go and attack that town and murder everybody, every man in that town, and burn the town. All right? There's another guy who is his brother named Judah, and he sleeps with his daughter-in-law. I mean, Joseph grew up in a messed up family. Father was a crook. Brothers were crooks. The brothers were so evil. They got so jealous of Joseph because Joseph was a dreamer. God gave Joseph dreams that someday, his brothers were going to bow down to him. And he, as a cocky 17-year-old kid, like all of us were when we were 17, he told those dreams, and the way he told them, Bible says, pissed the brothers off. So one day, the father sends Joseph to check up on his brothers about 50 miles away. He finds them. They're shepherds. He finds them about 50 miles away, and as they see him coming, the way they could recognize him, because the father gave him a special coat. Bible says a coat of many colors. All of them had these brown, you know, earthly tone color coats. But he had a coat of many colors. And so his father sends him to visit his brothers, bring him some food. And when they see him, they say, here comes the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. If you have a dream, I just want to let you know that there will be resistance to your dream. People will resist your dreams, but most of all, Satan will resist your dream, okay? And so when they see him, they said, let's murder him. Let's kill him. And one of the brothers said, listen, maybe we shouldn't kill him. Let's just throw him in a dry well, a pit, they called it. So what they did was they threw him in a dry pit where he couldn't get out. Then they took his coat of many colors. They killed a little goat, and they dipped his coat into the goat's blood, and they went to the father. But before they did that, they sold him to Ishmaelites. They sold him into slavery into Egypt. That's how messed up family of Joseph is. They sold him into Egypt. They went to the father. The brothers went to the father and said, Father, is this your son's coat? And he's like, yeah, that's it. Where is he? Well, we found him. Must have been that a wild animal ate this son of yours. So Joseph goes to Egypt. He's bought on the market as a slave, and he becomes a part of Potiphar's house. Potiphar is chief of police, you can say. Potiphar is the chief of Pharaoh's bodyguards. He's a famous dude. He's a big shot. He buys him. He puts him in his house. And the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And so instead of crawling into a little fetus, instead of saying, you know, I'm a slave. If I can't get out, I'm just not going to do anything. Joseph has a different attitude. Joseph is a man of faith. Bible calls Joseph a hero of faith. Why? Because Joseph says, okay, my circumstances are not the best right now. Maybe some of you can testify to that. Maybe your circumstances are not the best today. Maybe your financial, relational, maybe your marriage is in trouble. But listen, Joseph says, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to crawl into a little ball and get depressed. He says, I'm going to make the best out of my circumstances. And so what Joseph does, he begins to work. And Bible says he rises up in the ranks. And before you know it, he is the administrator of the whole house of Potiphar. That was a big house. It was like a mansion with lots of lands and animals and slaves and things like that. And Joseph is the administrator. Bible says Potiphar doesn't have to worry about anything except what he should eat. How cool is that? The only thing you worry about is, what should I eat? That's how good Joseph was. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Today, listen to me. If you're not in a perfect condition, you're not in perfect situation, if you got God on your side, you can do unbelievable things. You can do great things still. Just don't give up. A lot of people, and we live in a country where a lot of people, we have so many opportunities, but people give up. Joseph was in the worst conditions, and he didn't give up. He became so good. Potiphar's wife noticed him, and she lusted after him, Bible says. And day after day, she started coming after him and saying, sleep with me, Joseph. And Joseph said, no, I can't do that. How can I do this against my master, Potiphar? Look how he's treating me. There's no one greater in this house than me, except you, because you're his wife. And she keeps pestering him. She keeps attacking him. She keeps finding him when he's alone in the house. And one day, she comes into the house. She watches him. She's a cougar. She's an older woman going for a younger man. Joseph is in about his 20s at this time. She possibly older. And so she comes in and she grabs him by his robe. Remember, first time, his brothers took his robe. Now, second time, she comes and grabs his robe and says, come sleep with me. Guys, I don't know if we would be strong enough, if you were single, if you'd be strong enough to stand against this. But that's why Joseph is a hero of faith. That's why he's an example for us. Because many of us would have fallen into that thing. And then Potiphar, remember, he was the chief of the guard of Pharaoh. He had to have spies everywhere, even in his own house. He was not a dumb man. And before you know it, both you and his wife would have been dead. And the plan of God would have been canceled. Remember, God has a plan in all of this. In your suffering, in your pain, God has a plan in all of this. And so Joseph says, no, I can't do it. And she grabs him and pulls him in. And if you go search on Google and search Joseph and Potiphar's wife, you'll find pictures that she was not necessarily dressed. And this is a 20-year-old man. 20-year-old man. He says, no, I can't do this. What kind of integrity must you have? What kind of relationship with God must you have to say no to something like that? Most of us would be, well, it might, you know, bump up my career a little bit more, you know, for the career's sake, you know. I want to be successful, so I'll do it, you know. And Joseph says, no. And what happens, she grabs his coat and he slips out of it and runs away. Second time he's naked without a robe. Runs away and she screams and she says, this Hebrew you brought to us was trying to sleep with me. And so she causes this big commotion. And she uses racial undertones in her accusation. She says, this Hebrew you brought. You all know American history. In American history, it would be something equivalent to a white woman, right? Saying, this black man, he did this to me. That's what she's doing. She's diminishing him. She's degrading him. She's saying, this man, how could he do this? So she attacks him. Potiphar is furious. And that's where we're going to start reading right now. Genesis 39, verses 19 and 20. Listen to this. Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held. And there he remained. Threw him in the prison. Now, he was just a slave. Think about it with me. Did Potiphar really believe his wife? Because if he did, he probably killed this man. But I don't think Potiphar believed his wife. Because he knew his wife. He probably knew his wife. But because everybody heard about this, and you know how news travels. In that world, that's how it traveled. Gossip, you know. And before you know it, by the end of the day, everybody knows. And so Potiphar had to do something. So he takes Joseph from a good place, not a perfect place, and he throws him in prison. And Joseph remains in prison for about 10 years. God, where are you? Now let me talk to you about a prison of Egypt. It is not like a prison here. How many of you ever spent a day in jail or in prison? Me too. All right. You're in the right place. Now, if you're in juvie, you don't have to raise your hand because nobody knows about that. It's closed. Records are closed. All right. But if you spend a day in jail or in prison, you know that it's not that bad. They let you watch TV, cable. Yeah. They let you eat, right? 3 meals a day. They let you weightlift and play basketball. I mean, but that's not the kind of prison Joseph was in. They let you brush your teeth. They bring you right away a pack of, stuff like that. The toothbrush, the paste, the deodorant. They give you all this stuff. Yeah. That's why we spend $25,000 a year per prisoner in America. But that's not how it was in Egypt. Joseph didn't have access to water. Egypt is in Africa, north part of Africa. Okay? So Egypt was a dry place. There was not a lot of water. So there was no showers. It was a hot place. So there was a place filled with disease. Right? And you say, God, really? Is this what you do to me? You make me suffer? There was no toothbrushing, no hygiene, no personal hygiene, no showers, no food, whatever you want. No 3 times a day. It's like, here, slop. The same thing they feed pigs. That's the kind of prison it was. And what we see is that Joseph keeps his faith in prison. How do you do that? It's only by the grace of God. It's only by, Bible says, God had unfailing love towards Joseph. How do you survive suffering? How do you survive tough situation? How do you, like this man, Iron Man, how do you live when things go bad in your life? When your marriage is hurting? When your kids are hurting? When financially you're hurting? How do you survive? Grace of God. What is grace? It's God's power that helps you survive in tough situations and prosper in tough situations. So Joseph was not a perfect place. It was a place of prison, was a place of suffering, full of disease. But Bible says the Lord was with Joseph in prison. Let's talk about suffering today. A lot of times when I was growing up, I heard phrases like this from pastors and church leaders, that if you become a Christian, you will not go through suffering. And I want to tell you that that's a lie. Based on this story, Joseph was a man of faith who believed in God. He was not a Christian yet because Jesus Christ didn't come yet. But he was a follower of God, Jehovah. And God allowed a man like Joseph, who in the Bible, we don't see any sins that he made. We see his family was so messed up, but not Joseph. Why does God allow suffering? And a lot of times as a Christian, when you're trying to tell somebody about Jesus, they will ask you, if God is love, how could there be so much suffering in the world? That's a legitimate question. And when we're going through suffering, when we're going through pain in our life, through sickness, when somebody who we love is struck with cancer or dies in a car accident, we're like, God, really? We serve you and this is how you reward us? Are you for real, God? What's going on? So I want to look at suffering today, and I want to see, how does Bible teach us about suffering, and what should we do when we go through something hard in our life? Because the truth is, life is either like this. You're going through something now, or you're just getting out of something now, or you're getting to something new now. And it's up and down, up and down. That's how life is, okay? So let's look at it. Why did it happen? Why is there suffering? Who causes suffering, okay? Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And you need to know this, so you need to open your ears today, because you will be asked this question. And you will ask this question in your life, maybe many times, so you need to have an answer. Genesis chapter 3 says this. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat of the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" Notice that's a lie. God didn't say don't eat from any tree. Okay? One lie, Satan. See, Satan gives you a little bit of truth. No, he gives you truth with a little bit of lie. First lie. Response of Eve. "Of course we may eat from the trees in a garden," the woman replied. "It's only from that tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat or even touch it. If you do, you will die." Now, here's another lie we see in the Bible. God never said not to touch a tree. He said not to eat of a tree. So somewhere throughout the past of Eve, from Adam, God creating Eve to this point, somebody told Eve that you shouldn't eat of that tree or touch that tree. God didn't say touch the tree. That's why the Bible says you cannot add to the word of God and you can't subtract of the word of God. You got to preach the whole word of God. We got so many ministries today that they take a little part of the Bible and that's all they preach. And it's called unbalanced theology. You cannot subtract. You cannot add. You got to preach the whole thing. If you want to know the heart of God, you got to know the whole counsel of God. And so God never said touch. And I imagine Eve was walking around this tree, right? She was looking at it and she said, "God said don't eat and don't touch." And she's like, "What if I touch?" You know? And she maybe went like this. "I'm still alive. I'm alive." So watch now. She thinks the same thing is going to happen when she eats of it. So that's why you don't add things to the Bible, because it'll mess you up. And so she says, "You must not eat or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat of it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." There's another lie of the devil. You will know good and evil. Did Adam and Eve know good already? Did Adam and Eve know good? That's all they knew. They knew good. So when somebody asks, where does suffering and pain come from? It's from them wanting to know evil. Replace evil with suffering. You will know good and suffering. You will know good and evil. Good and suffering. Some of you are like, well, it's their mistake. They made a mistake. They disobeyed God. Why do we have to pay for it? Well, my question to you is, how many times a day do you disobey God? Do you ever disobey God? How old were you when you first disobeyed God? You see what I mean? If it wasn't them, I would do it. Oh, man, I would eat of that tree so fast, because I don't like, you know, just taking God at his word. It took years for me to finally starting to trust God. We don't necessarily naturally want to trust God. We want to do ourselves. And so where did suffering came from? How did suffering start it? Satan tricked Eve and Eve, Adam. He said, you will know good and evil. And so now every human being knows good and evil, good and suffering. Sometimes people ask me, how come there are so many bad Christians? How come there are so many good unbelievers and so many bad Christians? It's right here. You shall know the knowledge of good and evil. So an evil person could be good. And a good person could still be evil. We got both inside of us. That's why people who are atheists know how to do good. Because inside of them, they know good and evil. Do you see what I mean? And that's why Christians sometimes fall into different temptations. Why? Because we have indwelling sin living within us. And if you're not careful, you're going to fall into it. Both are hypocrites. Christians are hypocrites. Unbelievers are hypocrites too. Just go on a comment section of a story on CNN and you see how many hypocrites there are. People are so full of hate and anger. Right? Because they're anonymous. No, have you noticed how people on Facebook are so nice? Why? Because they're not anonymous. Right? But go on a commentary when you're anonymous and you say Snowball 2013 or something. I don't know. That's your name. login name. And watch how evil people can be. We're all full of, we're so hypocritical. Why? Because we all have sin living within us. The difference between a believer and unbeliever is that an unbeliever does not have nobody to pay for their sins. For a believer, we believe that Jesus Christ took our sins. And it doesn't mean that we stop sinning today because he took our sins, right? But that means that all of our sins are covered under his blood. Do you see what I mean? That's the good news. That it doesn't mean that I won't ever sin anymore. It just means that God, through Jesus Christ, already paid the penalty for all my sins. Some of you say, well, then let's go and sin. Really? That's not the heart you have anymore. Just because your wife will forgive you whatever you do doesn't mean you go and hurt her and cause pain by cheating or lying or whatever, right? Same thing. If somebody did something so great for you, somebody who loves you so much, promises to pay for all your sin, past, present, and future, how could you even think about, let's go and have, here, I have a license to sin. Let's go to Vegas, Sin City, right? No, that's not what you do. Let's go back to suffering. Joseph had his share of suffering. And as a Christian, you will have your share of suffering. How did he respond in the time of suffering? Number one, Joseph kept his faith. Amen? Joseph kept his faith. Do we give up in a time of suffering? Do we wait till the suffering has passed to live our life? No. Because God says, I will give you strength to live your life in suffering. Amen? I have two people I know, and they're both in wheelchairs. Okay? One of them lives his life to the fullest. I went last year to Great Bear, and I was skiing. And here I look, and this man is skiing on this one ski thing on a seat, pulled by another guy. And I'm like, is that that guy? And it was. And then I see him weightlifting, and I see him play baseball. I doubt he hits the ball, but he plays baseball, right? Another man is waiting for God to heal him to live his life. Okay, now I'm not judging the second man because I was never in his shoes. I don't know how I would respond through a hard time. But I'm just showing you the difference between two people. One person decides to be faithful and say, I'm going to live my life, although it's not perfect. How many of you know Nick? He's often on TV. Yeah, he has no arms and no legs. And then I see videos of what he does. He swims. He surfs. He has a baby boy. He has a beautiful wife. He writes books. He preaches. He was on Oprah. He was on all the news channels you can think of. He's at every conference there is. Why? Because there's a difference between faith and fear. Your circumstances might not be perfect today, but if you are a person of faith, if you trust God to use you even in the worst conditions of your life, in the worst season of your life, you will live better than somebody who decides to live in doubt and say, hey, I'm just going to wait here. Faith makes you move. Faith makes you act. Faith doesn't get you stuck. Faith gives you wings, people. Red Bull, it's like Red Bull. It just gives you wings. Joking, of course, but, right? So faith, you can get up every morning and say, God has something good for me. Yeah, I'm broke right now, but God has something good for me. And you can live better than if you say, where's that 40-ouncer? This is going to make it better. And it doesn't get better. Faith. So Joseph keeps his faith in a tough time. Number two, Joseph keeps a relationship with God. He prays. 10 years, horrible conditions, he believes God. 10 years. A prisoner in a dark dungeon somewhere, underground, in a cave maybe. No sunlight. He believes God. He has a relationship with God because, how do I know this? Because Joseph was the one who told this story. And he said, the Lord was with Joseph. So Joseph was saying, and the Lord was with me. Can you say today, the Lord is with me? Yeah, but when you're suffering, it's not easy to say, is it? The Lord is with me. It's not easy to say. It's not easy to say, right? But how do we know that the Lord is with us? Because the Lord is everywhere at all times. The Lord is with everybody. How do you know that the Lord is with you? Because you are with the Lord. Have you ever had somebody say, the Lord is so distant from me? Why? Because you're distant from Him. Bible says, draw near to Him. He's always there. He's always there in your life. But it's you who, we go like this from God. This is God, and we go closer, further, closer, further. When we're here, we're like, oh, Jesus, so good to be with you. I feel Him. I feel tingly. And then we go away, and then we don't feel Him, and we're like, where are you? One thing Joseph didn't do in that hard situation, he didn't abandon God. Because God will never abandon you, but you can walk away from Him. The Lord was with Joseph, meaning Joseph was with the Lord. He never abandoned. You know, when tough times happen to people, that's where many people lose faith. He didn't lose his faith. And it wasn't, the suffering wasn't 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 7 years. It was 10 long years. 10 long years. Maybe you've been going through something for a long time. Where are you with God? Is the Lord with you, or are you away from Him? Where are you today? Are you hiding from Him? Are you starting to look at YouTube video, reading God Delusions by Richard Dawkins? What are you doing? There is no God. Science, Darwinism, you know, all this just happened. You choose a new theology. Joseph didn't choose a new theology, philosophy of life. He said, God, I know you're with me. I know you're with me. I'm going to trust in you. Man, wouldn't you want to be friends with Joseph if you were in prison? Yeah? This man is awesome. He's just positive. He's like, Lord is with me. It lasted for 10 years. At the end of 10 years, and we're going to go and finish this next week, but at the end of 10 years, God came through for Joseph. And you know the story that Joseph goes from prison to palace in 1 hour. He interprets a dream, something that caused him to go into suffering, now caused him to go into the palace. And he becomes, in 1 hour, the prime minister of Egypt. We know from future readings of the Bible, if you read that story starting chapter 39, somewhere in there, 38, you will know that Joseph lived 110 years. He was 17 when he was sold into slavery. At 30, Bible says, he became prime minister of Egypt, and he ruled till his death. 13 years versus 80 years. Let me read something for you in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18 says this, yet what we suffer now is nothing to the glory He will reveal to us later. Listen to the promise of the Bible. What we suffer now is nothing to compare to the glory that will be revealed in us later. Joseph did suffer for 13 years, but for 80 years, he lived in the palace, not wanting anything. Well, our life compared to eternity is kind of like that. All right? Bible says this temporary life is nothing to compare to the glory that will be revealed for us later. The reason I'm saying this, because not all of our suffering will end in our lifetime. See, because we know the knowledge of good and evil, we will suffer. Some people suffer extra because of criminal activity. Let me just read some for you. First Peter 4, 15 and 16. Let's put that on the screen. First Peter says this, if you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or praying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name. Okay, so some suffering, it could be caused by us. Now there's enough suffering in the world. Why would you want to cause more suffering for yourself? When we disobey the word of God, it adds extra suffering to us. Would you agree? So the Bible says, don't suffer as a criminal, as a murderer, as a thief. Don't do that. So some suffering is caused by us again. But you know what? Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. And he knew wisdom. And he said, with lots of wisdom, still comes lots of suffering. Why? Because we live in these imperfect, broken, sin-infested bodies. Paul cries out in one of his chapters in the New Testament. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Bible says even the spirit cries out within us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Spirit groans within us. As a Christian or not a Christian today, you will suffer. However, for a Christian, Romans 8:28 says this, "And God causes all things to work together for your good." For an unbeliever, suffering just could be a lesson, but it doesn't impact the eternity. You see what I mean? In eternity, it doesn't matter. It might give you a lesson and teach you a lesson, because unbelievers learn from suffering too, from pain, right? When we make mistakes, we bump our head. We're like, okay, don't do that again, you know? How should we live in the light of knowing this truth, that we will suffer? We should live by faith. We should not give up, surrender, because Bible says in Christ Jesus, we're more than conquerors. We're able to conquer those circumstances, those hard things in life, and still have a joy-filled life. In Isaiah 43, and I'm going to read this, and this is how we're going to finish. It says this, 43:1. It's not going to be on your screen. "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you." You can add your name there, Alex. "And now, O Alex, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you." Israel is a symbol of a church. We're new Israel. "The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you." It doesn't say you'll never go through deep waters. When you go through deep waters, when you go through the valley of shadow and death, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. What a good news we have in the Word. So when you go through the period of suffering, have faith that God is going to bring you through. Number two, there is a balm in Gilead. For some of you, like, what? There is a balm in Gilead. Balm of Gilead. Gilead is a place. Balm is a lotion type of a thing that they would go to Gilead and they would get that balm. And then when people would have a sore, a cut, right? They would apply that balm to that sore and it would help soothe the pain. Balm of Gilead is a symbolic thing for the Word of God. When you're going through pain and suffering, you can go without anesthesia, or you can apply the balm of Gilead. Balm of Gilead is the Word of God. What do you do when you're going through the season of suffering? You got to get yourself in the Word. You got to stay connected to God. You got to keep coming. And I know sometimes when you go through pain and suffering, you don't even want to come to church. But listen, you need to come Sunday, Wednesday. You need to come to every opportunity there is so a balm could be applied. Some of you came today, you're hurting. But guess what? You're going to leave and you're like, I feel better. Why? Because the balm was being applied. Coats of balm was being applied by the Word of God, by the truth that we preach, right? And you will get out of here and say, I can make it. If Joseph made it 10 years in prison, I can make it. I will survive this no matter what this is. I will make it. I remember going through something a year ago and I made it and I don't even remember it anymore. And today I'm going through it again, but God is with me. The Word of God is the balm that applies and soothes our pain. Get into the Word. Get into the Word and let it change you. Joseph stayed in faith. He got closer to God. He believed that God will set him free. The third thing you have to do is believe that God will set you free, no matter what you're going through. But Pastor, I know somebody who believed God and they died. What about that, huh? In Hebrews chapter 11, it says this, "Some believed God and died in faith, not receiving the promise, so they can receive a greater reward." Even if you believe God, tell you, and you die, God respects
faith. It pleases God when we die in faith, not in doubt and anger and fear. They believed God, Bible says, and died in faith so they can receive a greater reward. Now, listen to me. I believe many of you will receive what God has promised in this life. Like Joseph, right? There was an end to his suffering. But remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king before king was going to throw him into the fire pit to kill him. He said, our God is able to deliver us from this fire. But even if he doesn't, I am not going to worship this statue of gold. But even if he doesn't, I'm still going to trust God. And guess what? God delivered them too. So listen, God who delivered Joseph, God who delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same God who will deliver you. Paul says there's many trials of a righteous, but the Lord delivers them from all of them. So stay in faith to the end. He who is endured to the end. Bible says, blessed is the man who is endure suffering and temptation because he will receive the crown of life. Many times it's here on earth, but sometimes it's in heaven. Maybe some people will never walk on earth with their physical legs. But guess what? They'll run the fastest in heaven. That's the promise. This life is just a test ground. This life is just a test ground. Oh man, I got so many scriptures. See, I'm not preaching from the notes, so just coming from here. John says in the book of Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And there was no more suffering, no more tears, no more pain, no more disease. And they sing a new song. And they dance a new dance. No matter what, you'll receive your reward here or not, you win. As a Christian, you win. Because Jesus have won. You are the winner. Yeah, winning, duh. That's what we're doing. Amen. Amen, amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? Did you enjoy today? Did it build your faith? Go ahead and close your eyes and bow your head. I want to ask you if you know Jesus. Have you made him the Lord and Savior of your life? Or are you just a religious person? Yeah, I grew up Lutheran or Catholic or whatever, a Christian. But today you're not close with God. The reason you're here today, because God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And the reason you're here today, because he wants to come into your heart and have a relationship with you. And so maybe you've been a Christian before. Maybe you've given your life to Jesus before. But you are far from God today. And you want to get close to him. I'm going to count to three. And on a count of three, would you raise your hand? Maybe you never knew Jesus. And today you felt something. God spoke to you through this message. Or maybe he spoke to you something different that I didn't say. On a count of three, would you raise your hand and give your life to Jesus? It will be the best decision you will ever make. It's the first step of walking with God. On a count of three, one, two, three, raise your hand, one hand, two hands, three hands, come on, keep those hands, keep them high, three hands, come on church, four hands, thank you, come on, whoo, let's pray, say Jesus, forgive me, save me, I want to live for you, from this day on, I believe that I'm saved, forgiven of all my sins. I'm new creation, and I'm going to go and live a new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.